There has always been a battle between right and wrong. A struggle for the hearts of all people has been raging on. But fighting is over.
Song that we're going to sing is called All at Once. I don't know about you, but I remember before I became a Christian how I tried to do right I wanted to do right, but I found myself again and again going back to the same things that I knew was destroying my life. You see, inside of all of us, there God has designed us that we should desire Him. There's a place in our souls where we'll never be satisfied until we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. And see, the problem with that is, as human beings, we want to be satisfied. We want to have a sense of fulfillment. And so we'll try this, and it doesn't work, and it doesn't help us. And so we'll try another thing, and it doesn't seem to help us. Or we'll go to something else. And we never get a sense of fulfillment until we meet Jesus. I remember, it's been 12 years last Friday in our church. I've told them this. But 12 years ago, last Friday, was my spiritual birthday. And I remember, Grandma, I remember how so unfulfilled and unsatisfied my life was. I felt so messed up on the inside. And I was so longing, Sister Norvell, just for something that was real. You see, there's nothing in this world that can satisfy us like Jesus can. There's nothing in this world that makes us as complete as Christ. And so I was hungry for something, but I was never filled. But 12 years ago, I met Jesus Christ. And it wasn't, I just heard the story. It wasn't just that flannel graph in Sunday school. It was a real experience that I had with God, where He, at one moment, at one opportunity, at one time, He transformed my life. He changed me. I didn't have to go to a 12-step. I didn't have to go to a therapy. I didn't have to go to anything. At one moment, I met God, and He changed me. He changed the way that I thought. He changed the things that I wanted. He changed the way that I talked. He changed the desires of my heart. He satisfied the longing in my soul. At one moment, Jesus Christ changed me. And I've never been the same since. Here's the greatest news of all. Every one of us can have the same experience that I've had. There's been countless others. There's been thousands of thousands who have met Jesus Christ. Whether that be in a church setting like we're in right now, or in a bedroom, or at work, or driving down the road, or in a park. I know of one man who got saved standing at the front of a Van Halen concert. God got a hold of him right where he was. Listen, there's nothing that we can do to merit God's favor. He just loves you this morning. And right where you're at, you can have an experience with God where He can transform your life and make you new all at once. And once and for all, my debt, my sin was paid for by God. I love Jesus Christ this morning. I'm so glad to be free in Christ. I'm so glad that He saved me. He changed me. And I'm thankful for that this morning.
Year after year, the blood was shed and the sacrifice was made. But God desired redemption that would last from age to age. So He gave the greatest gift of all to show the world His love. Forever it will always be more than shadow of the that I was His own, and took away my sin and shame I had carried for so long. And the part that makes me want to shout and still amazes me, in one moment, all at once, I was set free. Once and for all,
all at once and for all, my debt was paid.
My debt was paid.
All at once and for all,
my sins were washed away.
Hasn't happened to you, it can happen this morning in a moment, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's thank Him for that. If your life has been changed, won't you lift your heart and hands and thank Him that He's changed you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we praise You. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, and again, when our altar service is finished, we'll be beginning our dinner at the hall, and we want to encourage everybody to stay and be a part of this Independence Day celebration with us, and then make a point to stay for the afternoon service. I'm sure you'll be blessed and have opportunity to show your gratitude for the freedoms we have in this nation. Last Sunday, I'd preached from Romans 6, and I had several come to me because I had stopped with verse 11, and they said, "Oh, I wish it went on." And that was a welcome thing to say. Most people say something a bit different than that. They said, "We want you to get to that part about being free from sin." Well, I knew what came next, and I also knew that this was a special service where we celebrated our spiritual liberties. And I don't think it was just coincidence. Amen. The Lord has worked it out that in this series, this morning, we're talking about freedom. Hallelujah. How many is here glad that you are free from sin? Hallelujah. Choir sings a song, "It feels so good to be free. I've been born again, free from sin. I'm a child of the King." Are you glad to be free from sin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you could, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and then you can keep your Bibles open. We'll be referring back to it. But in Romans chapter 6, begin reading verse 12, Paul says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you." Hallelujah. We ought to be shouting through these verses. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Here's another one of his questions. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? I'll let you answer that, congregation. Amen. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23 is one of the most familiar verses that's a part of the gospel. I'd like to ask you to read that in unison with me. Let's read it together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Back in verse 7, it says that he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 18 says, being then made free from sin. Verse 22 says, being now made free from sin. I want to preach this morning on free from sin. Having been set free, we Christians need never again to live under the bondage of sin, because we can live under the control of God and His Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Are the shackles gone this morning? Have the chains dropped off? Has the prison door been opened? Are you free from sin? Amen. Just lift up a hand if you are and thank Him that you're free from sin. Oh, God, speak to us this morning. Someone's in our service, Lord, that you want to set free. You want to deliver. You want to open that prison door. You want to cause the shackles to come off. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Help me, Lord, this morning to preach with your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I've read several times that in places like India, where they raise elephants, they have a peculiar way of disciplining them and controlling them. They'll take that baby elephant soon after it's born, and they'll take a leash, small leash that's able to hold it, and a stake, and put the leash around the elephant's neck and drive the stake into the ground. And being a baby elephant, it may try to get loose from that leash and stake, but it can't get loose. It tries over and over again, can't get loose. Grows a little bigger, tries and tries, and can't get loose. So somewhere in the early stages of its development, it's learned that it can't get loose from that leash and stake, and so it gives up.